Business development is happening all over Hayes. Grow Hayes' executive director, Doug Williams, talks to us about that and more on this episode of the Post Podcast. Got a couple things that we're going to hit on today. Really important topics. Ellis Cares and Spark Program. I think the easiest way just to get into this is explain to us what this even is.
Well, as everyone is aware of the CARES Act that the federal government passed several months ago, the multi-trillion dollar CARES Act, which distributes money to, you know, there's been the to businesses, there was the PPP, the Payroll Protection Plan, and the EIDL loans, Economic Injury Disaster Loans. Individuals got the tax or the distribution, the $1,200 or whatever it was back in April. And then some of these monies are still finding their way down the pipeline. And this is money that Ellis County has received, actually $5.7 million in Ellis County. And the county is distributing this based on relief to entities like school districts, cities, the county itself, but also businesses are eligible to apply if they have had COVID-related expenses and COVID-related things that they have had to add to their business, which have then they've incurred costs for. It does not replace lost revenue. They didn't open up that can of worms because I'm not sure that would ever, you know, they would ever see the bottom of that. But businesses and organizations, whether they be not-for-profits or a business or a city, school district, can apply for funds, part of those funds, and the county will determine how those are going to be distributed. And then there is an ongoing auditing process and monitoring process that those funds were spent in the way they were supposed to be spent. But it's all basically funds for reimbursement of expenses that were COVID-related.
So I'm thinking, like, if you had to buy, say, some protective gear or, maybe computers so your staff could work from home, that's the kind of stuff that would be eligible for this money, right?
That's correct. I have some of my constituents, you know, the other economic development directors, and I've seen across the state, there's some pretty creative interpretations of what this might be able to be used for, and some of it's a little bit unclear, but the things you mentioned are exactly right. If you've had to get PPE equipment, perhaps allowing people to work remotely and putting in the infrastructure to do that. You know, a lot of us have seen the little plastic plexiglass shields in businesses to separate, you know, you from the person you're talking to. So some things like that. There might be any number of things. I know certainly the school districts face a huge challenge with going back to school and temperature taking equipment and those type of things that they want to try and make sure that this doesn't spread through the classroom. And so they have some special challenges and they've incurred some additional costs and will incur some more costs in those areas. So those are the type of things that it's designed for. It's a lot of money. It's $5.7 million, which sounds like a lot of money and is, but you spread that across an entire county and all of the organizations and perhaps businesses that apply. Probably will be spent.
Oh, no doubt. And, you know, when you're talking about governments, money adds up really quickly. Millions of dollars drops pennies in the bucket for a city the size of Hayes, right?
Well, certainly could be. Although, you know, I don't know that the city of Hayes, I've been in on a few of the meetings, and some of the cities have not incurred all that much expense. They have had some, but it hasn't been huge what they've incurred. Looks to me like just my first glance at it is the school districts are the ones that really have some challenges and have some additional expense that they need some help with, particularly if they start getting into trying to do some remote learning. You know, there's software, there's equipment and all of the things that go into that. And so that I have not seen what the requests are from any entities, but I have a feeling that that's where a lot of it is going to be focused on.
Okay. So how is the county planning on distributing this money? Is it like an application process to go to the county commission, or is it they just make decisions? How's that work?
Well, the ultimate determining body will be the county commission. They have created a committee with a number of community leaders, and those are involved in the community to advise and to review these applications. To do an application, you actually go to the county website, which is ellisco.net, ellisco.net, and right on the homepage, there's a big Ellis Cares banner, and you just click on that, and it'll take you to the application, or a link to the application, and you just go through it, and you tell who you are, what your situation is, what expenses you've incurred as a result of this, kind of explain a little bit, and at the bottom you tell them how much you're requesting, and then all those requests will go in and be reviewed and then ultimately decided upon. Big task the commission has before them, and that's why they've engaged this committee to try and help with this, and there's some other potential committees that might help them with reviewing some of these, because there could be a lot of them.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I actually pulled up the form here as we're talking. It doesn't seem to be that overwhelming a form. There's a lot of opportunity to explain what your expenses are, but the form itself looks like it'd be pretty quick and easy.
Yeah, it's not too bad. It's not like it's going to take anybody a couple hours to fill it out. I'd say 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and you've pretty got it filled out. You do need to, ultimately you'll need to produce receipts for the expenses that were incurred, or estimates for the expenses that you may plan to incur as a result of this. So, but this is, this is pretty much across the board. I know nonprofits have been hit hard by this. Not only have they incurred some additional expenses, but they've also had some revenue hits. And while this is not directly designed to recoup revenue, if at least some of those expenses can be recouped as a result of COVID-related things, that helps keep things going, because not only have they been hit by losing revenue from maybe events and that kind of thing they do, but also just donations are down a little bit because people are a little unsure as to what's going on out there.
Oh, sure. And I would imagine, too, pumping this money into those organizations and just into the community in general probably have a overall positive impact on the local economy, wouldn't it?
Well, certainly when you put $5.7 million out there, that is the majority of it, or a lot of it goes back into the local economy, it helps. They say every dollar turns over six or seven times, whatever that multiplying number is. So in the short term, definitely. In the long term, when we have to figure out how all this gets paid back, I don't know. Maybe I'll be dead and gone by then. I won't have to worry about it. But in any case, it has a positive impact on the economy locally, but mainly helps some people recoup some dollars that they had not planned on spending for some things that they can get reimbursed for.
Sure. And, with the PPP loans that went out, what's it been, about 2-3 months ago now?
That, yes.
Those totals were staggering, how much people needed that money just to keep their organizations afloat. And a lot of businesses here locally collected those funds.
Oh, sure did. I would say the majority of businesses did file for PPP funding. There were some rules on that, too, that you had to at least show some level of negative impact due to the pandemic, but almost every business can. But there were literally billions of dollars, obviously, nationally that went out, but lots and lots of funds went out locally, and it was very helpful. And then we've also seen, I think, one of the reasons our economy continues to do quite well is because of programs like that, and businesses can continue to pay their people and, kind of continue to operate for the most part, even though they may have had a real serious downturn in their revenue side of things.
Sure.
And, of course, the unemployment benefits, the $600 bonus ends, has actually ended, I believe. I believe it ended maybe today. So that's going to be interesting what that does to the job market. If some people who were not very motivated to go back to work because they were getting not only unemployment but a $600 a week bonus, when that ends, it may put some people back into the workplace and help some of our employers who are looking for having a difficult time finding employees.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And we talked about that last week. There are, even with unemployment as high as it is, and it's still low compared to a lot of other places in the country, but Ellis County has a higher unemployment than we've seen in years. But people are still desperately looking for help out there, especially those entry level jobs like in restaurants and hotels that kind of got shut down for a while because of COVID.
Exactly. Those have been the industries, the hospitality industry, the food and beverage industry have the ones who have really suffered the most, or at least a lot in here. I shouldn't say the most because I don't know about all industries, but those have been directly hit and hit hard.
Yeah. Which is a perfect segue, by the way, to the other thing we wanted to hit on real quick. We don't have a lot of time left, but you've got a job fair going on next week, right?
We do, in association with Kansas Works and Big Creek Crossing and the website Work Hayes. We're holding I wouldn't say it's a virtual job fair, but it's a traveling job fair, a little bit different twist this year. Normally a job fair, all the employers go to a place and the prospective employees come in and go from table to table to talk to the prospective employer. Due to the pandemic, we've changed up a little bit, and we're going to have this as kind of a traveling job fair where prospective employees will be able to go to the business that is looking for employees. So you can go to our website and see who's on the tour. It's from 1 to 4 next Thursday, August 6th, and you'll go from to the actual place of employment, pick up an application or drop off a resume. You can talk to them a little bit about what exactly the job is. A little bit different twist, but a little bit safer than a large gathering of people getting together in one spot.
Oh, sure. Do you, off the top of your head, know about how many businesses have been signed up for this thing?
I think we had 14 or 15 when I last looked.
Okay.
So a good number. And the key would be to go to our site, decide which ones might fit you, and then, choose to go drop by those businesses. You don't have to go to all 14 or 15 of them, obviously, because not of them all are going to be a fit for what you might be looking for. But I think we've got good, strong participation from a number of employers.
Yeah, it's very cool. What is that website, just in case people are curious?
www.growhaze.com.